Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. The theme today is death and rebirth. And as is often the case, we'll be starting with an article from Benjamin Cram's master. This one is titled The Law of Rebirth, and it's from the book A Master Speaks, Volume 1, and was originally published in 1985. Great confusion reigns in man's understanding of the laws governing rebirth. This confusion is reflected in the variety of teachings and interpretations which exist and which serve to deepen further man's ignorance and fear. For untold ages in the Orient, the idea of successive lives governed by an immutable law of karma has seldom been in doubt. The result has been the ready acceptance of the circumstances of the present, however degrading and inhuman they might be. In the Occident, on the other hand, the concepts of repeated incarnations has lain dormant, engaging the attention only of the few since its exclusion from the Church's teachings in the 6th century at the instigation of the Emperor Justinius. Had the teachings of Origen remained within the body of Christian belief, an altogether different approach to the facts of life and death would pertain in the West. That great initiate, knew and taught the truth of incarnational cycles inaugurated by the Lord of the world, proceeding under the impulse of the law of sacrifice and governed by the law of cause and effect. The deletion of this truth from the Church's teachings has resulted in the ignorance and fear so much in evidence today. Where interest in reincarnation has survived, it has, for the most part, taken the form of an almost exclusive interest in the supposed personal details of previous lives. In the coming cycle of Aquarius, an entirely new approach to the law of rebirth will be taken. No longer will the old fatalistic acceptance of all that happens as the inexorable hand of karma hold sway in the East, condemning millions to lives of drudgery and pain. No longer in the West will men ignore the fundamental laws of their existence and the personal responsibility which the working of these laws confers. Men will know that they themselves create, through thought and action, the circumstances of their lives, but also that by the working of these same laws, they can transform and change for the better their natures and conditions. This will lead to a re-evaluation of life's meaning and purpose, and a healthier approach to the fact of death. An understanding of the continuity of all life, incarnate or not, will replace the present fear. The old phobia of death as the end of everything will vanish in the new light which will illumine the minds of men. Into the darkest corners of superstition and ignorance, this new light will shine, awakening men to an awareness of their divinity as immortal souls. The true understanding of the maxim of the Christ that what we sow, we reap, will transform human existence in all its aspects. Tolerance and harmlessness not known before will replace the present separation as men recognize the justice and the logic of the law. The new era will bring new insights, and man will approach life as the adventure it is, a journey of discovery, the discovery of the fact that God and man are one, that naught divides but the limited vision of the seeker, that all men chart a different course to the same goal, and that the goal of all our striving is the realization of the divinity which awaits our recognition. Under the great law of rebirth, we undertake that journey again and yet again, until, at last, we enter into the light of our own understanding as self-perfected sons of God. Now to Benjamin Krem's writings, and the next quotes are going to come from various books. The first is Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3, and it's under the heading of Death and Dying. The question is, related to the entire question of health, is the issue of death and dying. Most of us are afraid of the prospect of death. How can we develop a new approach to death and dying that is more positive and less fear-inducing? Mr. Krem's reply. It is a gradual process of realization that death is not the end. I would have thought that the work of the various spiritualistic societies in the 19th century and the earlier part of the 20th century proved to any open-minded person that there is life after death, that some form of consciousness continues after death. This realization will gradually gain acceptance when more and more people begin to experience it, and this is happening already. Many people are having near-death experiences, and many books now exist about these. Under hypnosis, people have been taken back through their life experience to their previous death, and beyond that to previous incarnations. I'm not sure whether this proves the doctrine of reincarnation, of which I personally have no doubt, but it certainly does prove the existence of continuity of consciousness after death. When this knowledge is widespread enough, it will become respectable, and people will gradually lose their fear of death. And another question. Do you believe that after our death we are aware, or are we only aware when we are in incarnation? Out of incarnation, after death, we are more aware than we ever are in this life, because we do not have the limitations of the physical body and brain. The physical brain dies with the body. Eventually, the etheric sheath, which is part of the physical body, dissipates, usually in about 3 days. Then the astral or emotional body gradually dissipates. Then the mental body. The soul reincarnates and creates a new body with these three vehicles, physical, emotional, mental. Out of the body, we have a clarity of perception, a vividness of experience, which is altogether more conscious, more aware, more interesting, more rich than anything, except perhaps profound meditation, which we might experience here. This next question is from Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1. Why is it that normally we do not remember our previous lives, and what is the mechanism which prevents us? It is because we do not possess continuity of consciousness, that is, from life through death to life again. For a few weeks or months, depending on the individual child, the baby does indeed remember its previous life. But this quickly fades as the impressions of the outer world impinge more and more on its consciousness. Although it is by no means always the case, by the time the third initiation is being taken, continuity of consciousness is beginning to be established. Eventually, at the fifth initiation, total recall of all past experiences is achieved. And this is from the book, The Awakening, The Ageless Wisdom Teachings. And this is one of the four books that are downloadable for free from the Share International website, by the way. This question is, if we get these repeated chances at life to work our way up the evolutionary ladder, what happens to us in between? What happens to us upon death? It depends at what point we are in evolution. If we are not very evolved, and the vast majority of humanity is not very evolved, then we've quickly come back into incarnation. The great magnet of evolution brings us into incarnation over and over again. Because we have a lot to learn, we need frequent teaching, the experience of life over and over again to make any progress at all. If we are rather more evolved, we come into incarnation in groups, family and extended family groups. We have all been mother, father, brother, sister, child, grandfather, etc., in relation to one another, over and over. In this way, we create karmic ties. These karmic ties hold the groups together, and they also allow us to work out, in a relatively restricted circle, our karmic debts until we resolve them. When we learn to be harmless, we overcome karma. There comes a time when the soul is manifesting so powerfully through its reflection, the man or woman in incarnation, that he or she ceases to make too much karma of a negative nature and becomes more and more harmless. We can see, therefore, the need for harmlessness in all human relationships. By being destructive, we create negative karma, which means we have to work it off. We come in with this karma, and all of the misfortune of our life, the pain, the suffering, is put down to bad luck. It is not bad luck, but the direct result of our karma. Next question. You talked about the soul and the body. What mechanically happens to each of those in between these incarnations? When we die, for example, does the soul go off to one place and the body to another? Yes, the body returns to dust, except that one permanent atom of the physical body remains, along with one permanent atom of both the emotional and mental vehicles. Around these three permanent atoms, the soul will create the next body on the physical, the emotional, and the mental planes. We come into incarnation at exactly the same level, the same rate of vibration where we left off, which is that of these three permanent atoms. But what about in between lifetimes? That again depends on how advanced we are. If we are not very advanced, we do not have much time out of incarnation. We are in and out rather quickly. If we are rather more advanced, we have a relatively longer period in what is called pralaya. Pralaya is something like the Christian idea of paradise. Nothing happens, you do not make any advance, but it is a state of unending bliss which is interrupted from time to time as your number comes up and you are called into incarnation again. Once a person learns about reincarnation and develops some conviction or comfort level with it, does it have any effect upon their attitude towards death? And Mr. Krem's reply, profoundly, if you really believe in reincarnation, if it is part of your consciousness rather than an idea which you think is reasonable to accept, if you take it quite seriously, it removes the fear of death to a large extent. You may be afraid of the final moments, but the idea of death no longer has the terror that it has for most people who see death as the end of everything and who cannot imagine themselves, this conscious thinking being, continuing. And yet, after death, you have an expansion of consciousness. You are the same being, but your consciousness is immeasurably expanded because it is freed from the limitations of the physical body. Out of the body, there is freedom and knowledge, joy and experience of love. And you meet again people who had died before you. In fact, it is easier to die than to be born. And just an excerpt from the next answer, the question being, I was going to say, it almost sounds like being an incarnation is something of a liability. It is not a liability, but an opportunity for service, for the expansion of our consciousness and the evolution of our being. And now another book, this is The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, Benjamin Kerman's very first book. And just one passage from that book. It is through the law of cause and effect that we come again and again into incarnation as souls, demonstrating on the physical plane through the personality. The fact that we create on this plane certain effects, set in motion certain causes, ties us to this plane and draws us repeatedly till these are resolved. In this way, the whole of our evolutionary life is acted out until gradually, through the experience of this evolutionary path, we perfect ourselves, revealing more and more of our divine nature. Each time we die, we see our high self, our true self. We come face to face with our soul. We see our life as it has been. We see the purposes which the soul had for coming into incarnation. We always come into incarnation with three major purposes, which is the aim of the soul that we manifest. We see these and we can measure how much of any of these purposes we have in fact fulfilled. This is really the true judgment. This happens life after life until we perfect ourselves and need no longer incarnate on this planet. Then we are masters. And this is a short question from yet another book, The Great Approach. Most humans are afraid of death. Why? Because of ignorance about the reality of life, including that phase of life we call death. People fear death because they think of it as the end of themselves. When people realize that death is not the end, but the beginning of another phase of life and experience and consciousness, they will lose the fear of death. An understanding of the law of rebirth and of the evolution of consciousness, which it makes possible, will free us from this fear. And we've got time for a few more questions, so let me just look back at what we have here. What happens to the soul and astral bodies of people who let their bodies be frozen after death because they hope that their bodies and they themselves will be repaired one day so that they can go on living? At death, the soul withdraws from its vehicle and no amount of repairing will restore that life, the soul, to reincarnate in that vehicle. In such a situation, the soul returns to its own plane and creates the bodies of its next incarnation. The astral or emotional vehicle dissipates and returns to the astral planes. Another question, will there be no more death? Will we have eternal life in the future? Gradually, our approach to death will change. The fear of death will go as we realise it is but a phase in the eternal life we already have. When we have, as the masters and Thai initiates have, continuity of consciousness, we will come into and leave physical plane expression in full awareness of the previous state. And that is more or less all we have time for, so thank you very much for listening. There is, of course, a lot more information on the subject that can be found in the books by Benjamin Krem. So I would encourage you to at least check out the website, share-international.org, and perhaps have a look at the books in that book section on the website. If you have any queries, you are welcome to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Otherwise, I wish you all a lovely week.